Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for Early Break with Sip and Jake, brought to you by Gaina Trucking. Live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
And Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
This is Early Break with Sip and Jake, sponsored by Gaina Trucking.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Friday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. It's been a wild show so far, but we're gonna.
It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. A little surly, but we're carrying
on. Surly?
I'd say interesting.
Okay.
But you know what? The show goes on. We got a lot of stuff coming up this hour, including right now. So we are joined on the phone by Kansas head football coach Lance Leipold. Lance, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I tell you what. You guys were one of the best stories in all of college football this year, making a bowl game, lost a close bowl game to Arkansas, which was a great game. But I'm curious, Lance, we talked to you before the season, and you make it to the postseason. Just kind of describe the atmosphere in Lawrence this year and what it felt like to get Kansas back on the map after many years in the desert.
Well, first of all, good morning, gentlemen. It's good to be with you, and happy Friday, and
Thank you.
And, good morning,
and Bill. Good to see you on the other side of the night. Now you're going to be second guessing everything that all us coaches do.
I can't wait.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll start with you too most of the time.
I wouldn't expect anything less. I just want to hear your name in that little header coming out of commercial. I think Sip's got to get that changed.
Yeah, I'm nowhere involved in the deal. Yeah, I don't get my name anywhere. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
we have to cover.
Yeah, it was a nice season for us. Took a huge step as a program, Jake. I don't try to say what the schedule is, you know, and Bill can attest to this. You know, you're in the moment. You're trying to get your team and your program better each and every day in a lot of different ways. And you know, many times you talk about things like, you know, what is the process and what you're doing and what is changing a culture and what do you want your culture to be? And many times you're making a lot of positive steps, but it doesn't always show up on a scoreboard on Saturday. We were fortunate to get off to an excellent start, something that hadn't been, seen in this area in a while. And when you ask what it was like, we were able to sell out three straight home games, and it was an atmosphere in Lawrence, Kansas that hasn't been here since probably 2008.
Mm-hmm.
College game day came to Lawrence for the very first time. Probably crowd ratings, everything that at least they throw in front of me showed that it was one of the best outings that college game day had.
Mm.
And it was a vibe, and we went toe-to-toe with TCU, who played for the national championship. We lost our starting quarterback in the first half and still had a chance to win that ball game late. So a lot of great things. Then of course, kind of, hit a little wall and lost some games. But this group kept competing. We beat a ranked Oklahoma State team to secure our first bowl bid in about 12 years. So, again, another huge step. And you mentioned the Arkansas game. We fell behind quite a bit early, but really, really proud of, I think really is kind of the testament of where we are at as a program and last year's team is this group never gave up and they played well. We're down three scores late and found a way to tie it up in regulation and battle through three overtimes before falling short, which all now propels us into where we're at now into the off season. We're about 3 weeks away from starting spring practice.
Lance Leipold, 58-year-old Lance Leipold from Lawrence, Kansas, joins
us. Why did you ask for my age?
He always does it. If he's younger than you, he always does it. That's Sipple's deal. You know, Tampa 2. Tampa 2. Yeah. He tries to handle all the technical questions.
I told him that you used to call me Tampa 2 because of my extraordinary knowledge of the game.
So these two guys here, Lance, just so you know, that combined football, high school and college, is zero. Zero. That's what we're dealing with.
Size.
It's zero.
He just groans at us.
All right, I'm going to keep us on the tracks here. Jalen Daniels, Lance. Jalen Daniels returning as your starting quarterback. I will tell you that I watch your games in part because I loved watching Jalen Daniels play. What did it mean to your program? Did it mean something in terms of credibility that that young man elected to come back?
Oh, absolutely. And the nice thing, he's got 2 years back. He, just for your listeners to understand, and first of all, he's a great young man. He's got charisma, energy, smile on his face all the time. He's a guy that, you know, in our first year and arriving late and all those things, we were trying to redshirt Jalen. We were forced to play him. He leads us to a victory down at Texas against the Longhorns and elected to then start the next two games and burn his redshirt year and really gave, you know, really a sacrifice. And in today's world, that's not always the case because he wanted to help this football program move in a positive direction. Absolutely a huge boost for us, for him, to have the opportunity to, come back. But he could have went pro. He could have been a portal guy. And he, you know, a lot of options these days for these guys. But for him, he wants to help this program in each and every way. And after getting hurt in that TCU game and getting him back late in the season, all those things are huge positive for a team like us that has 10 of the 11 offensive starters returning.
Lance, it was very well known that one of the big issues at Kansas was that they were upside down, probably were upside down when you came
in terms of
scholarships, is that it was very hard to get back to the 85 scholarships just because of attrition, where scholarships were lost. You would sign your 25, but through everything, you always ended up in the 70s, 60s. And then now with now that you don't have initial signers, was that a situation you had to deal with? And where are you at right now as far as scholarships? Are you back up to speed?
Well, that's a great question. And it is. It was a unique situation that this program had been upside down, and upside down probably in some other ways, and that we're trying to get ourselves back to. And not having that hard count of a 25 allowed us and really lined up also with the portal and those opportunities, because we were close in some ways, Bill, but you know, when I got the job, there were, you know, I probably had a half a dozen walk-ons that walked in and said I was promised a scholarship and all these things, and I didn't have record of any of that. And there's stuff like that that you're going through. You know, first of all, are you at your number? And then you got to be at your number where you really need to be competitive on a consistent basis. So, yes, we've been there. You know, that rule definitely did help a program like this get itself in a better position. And now we're between changing a little, you know, from a three-man front defense to a four-man front, schematically offense, our scholarship numbers were offense and defensively way out of whack, and even positionally some areas were heavily loaded in scholarships and others. And to be a consistent football program and one that we want to be, we've got to get some other things still straightened out that we're working through. But all this is definitely heading in the right direction.
Joined by Lance Leipold, who was, I mean, he's done incredible things at Kansas. He did incredible things at Wisconsin-Whitewater. He was 109-6 at Wisconsin-Whitewater, won 6 national titles. Went to Buffalo after that. Buffalo was a train wreck, left there with 3 bowl appearances and a 37-33 record. My question is this: Division III to the MAC to the Big 12, how significant were those jumps, and did one prepare you for the next?
Yeah, I think they all have, Steve, in different ways. And I, you know, there's, you know, I said in my opening press conference at Buffalo that football is football. Now, that's, there's some truth to that, but there's so many other things that happen in each one of these stops, and a lot of it has to do with resources and has to do with the amount of people that touch your program and organization, the amount of people that you have to keep on the same page. And now there's pluses and minuses. The jump from the MAC to the Big 12, to me, I couldn't believe the amount of people that A, we're in the staff meetings, that they're the resources that you have, that when you're the Division III guy, you're doing it all yourself or with one or two other guys, and your coaches are doing multiple things. Mm-hmm. This is more specialized division of labor, and there's other opportunities. But the biggest thing, especially like when there's a – if we have a guy from the portal that played at the Group of Five level, and it's nothing against those programs because, as you said, I spent 6 years there, is it's a night and day difference for a young man to have the resources and the people that can touch their lives that allow them to do everything possible to reach their goals. And then, of course, playing at a you know, a different level against different competition each and every week allows them to be evaluated for the next level in a different way. But they are different. But also, you know, you end up doing more things like this. You have more people scrutinize what you do on a daily basis. You have more people that are involved and are interested in what you're doing, and the people that you have to continue to make, build relationships. You got to build relationships in your program to keep your players. You've got to recruit. You got donors, boosters, all the other things. There's a lot more to it. And I learn each and every day, but you know, this is a great opportunity and a great fit for us here in Lawrence.
Lance, when it comes to, obviously, I've always talked about how coaching matters so much. So you go to Whitewater, okay? And let's just talk about coaching. Sometimes I talk about someone that can, you have two teams. He takes a team, you take a team, you beat him. Then the next day they switch the teams, and then you beat them, you beat him with your guys. I always felt you were one of those type of coaches. I'm not trying to, you know, make things that crazy and blow things up for you, but the numbers at Whitewater are ridiculous. They had never won a national championship. You won six, and they haven't won one since.
Jake, they haven't won one since.
That's incredible. So that has to – that just resonates. I don't know if people know that they said you won six national championships. You lost six games and won over 100 to be able to have that, and then probably got looked at a few times, and luckily Buffalo took a chance on you. But that is an incredible number of how that all took place. Do you ever just call Mountain Unions and stuff, and just have just send a picture of you over to their SID and just of yourself and just say
no,
okay,
you don't do that.
But how did you get that turned around? How did you get that done to make that? I mean, that was six national championships, and I'm not sure how many years it was in. There's probably
eight years.
So
years.
And the two that you didn't win it, were you in the championship game? Were you in the playoff?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One of the two, we lost the championship, and 1 year we didn't qualify. And again, that can be the fine line sometimes. I guess, I appreciate that. Well, and I'll answer part of those a little bit. First of all, our strength coach is a Mount Union grad, and so is our quarterback coach. And Matt Gildersleeve, our strength coach, played while we were coaching there. And the great thing is I want people that have been a part of winning programs and understand, and in many ways understand why with do more with less. I think that sometimes, so when you look at making the jump, Danny White, current Tennessee athletic director, is an extreme outside-the-box thinker, and he took a chance on a Division III coach making the jump to the Mid-American Conference. So always will be grateful to Danny and what he's doing. But I think all those things about, you know, is in building programs, whether you're at Wisconsin, Whitewater, Buffalo, Kansas, Nebraska, or Alabama or Georgia, is staying in the moment to keep working on getting better. And I thought the one thing that we did at Whitewater was through all, even at the smallest level of success of, you know, whether it be going honored at the Milwaukee Bucks game or going to the state capitol or whatever, those things, which are big things when you're playing at that level, those were sometimes, you know, the outgoing seniors and the underclassmen were going to, you know, keep working to get their opportunity to do it and to match the standard and to keep working and surpass some of the expectations and have internal daily competition that I have to stay hungry, focused, and working to continue this and not let something slip. And we also kept pushing the envelope on how we could improve and find ways within our staffing model and funding and resources and all those things, I think holistically put us in a very good position to have an opportunity like that. And when you read those things, Steve, or when you're going through that, is I don't think you really understand what's really being accomplished until you step aside after it's been said and done. And Bill, you've been a part of a national championship and other great programs as well at the FBS level, and you know it. In the moment, you don't even fully understand sometimes everything that you've overcome to obtain that, and it's pretty special.
Joined by Kansas head football coach Lance Leipold in the early break. Lance, I'm curious, you know, Ken, you inherited a bad situation at Kansas. You go 3-9 the first year. You make a bowl game this past year. I'm curious in terms of, like, the reception on the recruiting trail for you compared to what it was when you started to now. You guys are on the map. You had a good year. How has it changed in terms of, you know, approaching recruits now compared to what it was when you first started?
Definitely different. And it's been exciting because and one of the things, I guess, I, you know, probably locally to some of your listeners, one of our things when we talked about Jalen Daniels, I meant to interject earlier, is former Nebraska offense coordinator Matt Lubick is an analyst for us. And Matt's contributions, and if you watch us offensively, and Andy Kolnicki, our offensive coordinator, has done an outstanding job where I don't know how many times people say they like watching our offense and it's exciting and, you know, and we do a lot of different things in a lot of different ways. And again, because we're probably not going to line up on a recruiting chart with stars and awards and stuff and go personnel with personnel. So we've got to be creative. We got to find ways to do things and give things different looks. But those are some of the things that we've been able to do that. So the same thing is now when we go into, you know, even towards the end of last year, the win at Texas gave us a little more credibility walking into high schools in Texas and Dallas, Houston especially. It happened again this year when people watch us. People have taken notice, and the thing they also see is I hope they see that we're doing it consistently like we have at other places. I think we do it the right way for the young men, and we're trying to really build the continuity within the head, from the head coach to assistants through the program, that really what it takes to have sustainable success at the Division I level. And I think head coaches are appreciating that and passing that along to the young men. And I think the young men and families are taking notice.
Joined by Lance Leipold, head coach at Kansas. Lance, you are a game manager. You do not have your head buried in a play sheet. Have you ever done that as a head coach? Have you ever been a play caller? And what are the advantages of not having your head buried in a play sheet?
No, I haven't, Steve. And this goes back to probably the first thing when you talked about my first time as a head coach. Program structure, discipline, you know, ways of running the program were important. And what I found out usually is, especially when you have at the lower levels and you don't have people in your building each and every day, you're putting out small fires trying to take care of business and that. And I even learned it at the Division II level when I coached 10 years in Omaha with Pat Burns, is that usually sometime along the head coach is going to get a phone call, a disruption, somebody's going to come in, a player's going to come in with an issue that needs to be addressed. And if you're going to be the play caller, you have other people, and you stop to take you've got to make a choice. And where are you going to put it? And to me, I probably gave up the fun part of coaching, the fun part of scheming and doing those things to make sure that I felt that the program had its other components. So with that, I've had to step aside. And then that goes back into your hires and the people that you have and the people that you trust. And I also could take more time to work on things that are needed, whether that be externally with alums and boosters and fundraising. Maybe there's points and things I have to work with my administration. Maybe there's things and conversations with players. So I've taken that approach. There's days I truly, truly miss it. But at the same time, I think I get to help. I call myself like the finish coach, the tempo coach, because the hustle coach, because when a play is completed in practice, and Bill could probably attest to this, most of the time, the coaches are all putting their eyes down on the script, and they're looking for the next play, and they're doing things. Well, I'm watching how our transition goes. Are we finishing it with good ball security? Are we tagging are wrapping up the right way. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in such a hurry to move to the next play.
Mm-hmm.
I have a chance to kind of watch the smaller details. And we really think that some of those smaller details many times are what helps a program like Kansas or Buffalo close the gap.
Or Nebraska.
Lance, obviously we have a tie. I was able to be at the University of Wisconsin two times, one under Coach Alvarez. And a lot of people don't know this, obviously, that you were a graduate assistant at Wisconsin. We were there together. And so we had time that we spent together. So there's a couple questions I need to get answered if I could, okay? And then we'll get to some schematics of the office at Wisconsin. When you're getting an old fashioned, you're getting a regular old fashioned or a brandy old fashioned?
Geez, I haven't had an old fashioned forever, and if I did, of course, being at Wisconsin, it'd have to be a brandy.
Thank you very much for those people in Wisconsin. Yeah. Thank you, because that really wasn't a trick question. But if you just said a regular old fashioned right now,
what happened?
And that they'd knock it out of your hand. It's brandy.
They would throw hands.
Now, if we go back 30 years, Bill, and we go back to when you're a grad assistant, and we talk about resources, Sip, okay?
Yes.
And Jay, we talk about the things that are here in the mouth, like food and quantity of things that young men get today.
Mm-hmm.
Back when we were, we prayed somebody was bringing in donuts or bagels.
Oh my God!
You know, and my first thing I can remember at Bill Bush is having a box of cereal in his drawer that's how he was living when he first came.
Honey,
he literally
Cheerios.
Had to make ends meet by bringing in a box of cereal.
So here's my next question to you. If you had to go to one place again right now, would you go to Brats or Gritty?
I'd go to Brats.
Go to Brats. Okay.
Why is that?
Why? The nitty gritty is more it was a birthday bar. Okay.
Sip,
so imagine. So everybody go there for their birthday.
Oh, God. I'm staying away from that. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and when you're 50, as you told everyone, since 58 years old,
going on 59.
Going back to the. Okay. So, and I'm a bratwurst guy. I'm not hiding that at all.
This is something you could probably add to this, and maybe you'll have a good story to add to this. So, when we were in the office, we met upstairs. Remember the stairs we walked up to the staff room, Lance?
Yep.
So we have to go up there. And remember, we'd be in the office, and there would be a discrepancy on whether or not someone would be able, get the tape. And we all know where Boomer was down the hall and where that. So back then it was VHS tape, and there was no click on a computer. It was get the tape. Walk through because we all had to do it. Did we walk or did we have to run to get the tape?
Run.
You ran in the as
Who
a
made
graduate.
You run? Who made you run?
You just ran. You
really?
Just knew to run.
You just did.
Tell the story, Lance. Tell how it went down. Just tell how it went down. Because I took over when you left it as the running guy.
Yeah, you had to run it down and go get it from. And for those that know Nebraska, well, like back when Coach Osborne or Coach Solich was there, like, Boomer was Pat O'Connor. He was like Kenny Fisher and some of the others that were kind of in the back caves doing the first screening of talent. So you had to hurry up and go get it from them. And there was, and I think that's when you go through it. We also had to wear a shirt and tie every day.
Every day.
What?
But,
really?
But, you know, when everyone, when you talk about a culture and changing a program, the year that I joined 1991. Coach Alvarez came off a 1-10 season, but things were changing, and there was no doubt about the energy that and the confidence that Coach had, the energy of Dan McCarney, and of course Nebraska fans can whatever you say. Bill Callahan and Brad Childress were on the offensive side of the ball on that staff. So you look at the type of people that we were able to surround ourselves with. You look back and you're extremely, extremely fortunate.
So we'd been there with Lance. So when Jim Huber would walk by, he had the running backs at the time, a longtime offensive line coach. If he walked by the office at like 5 o'clock, all the GAs are in there. We're in a shirt and tie.
You guys were wearing shirt and ties?
Absolutely.
Really? Every day.
Every day. We could take them off as we went after to practice, like 1 o'clock, something like that. Go down, we'd change Lance at that time. You always had a shirt and tie behind the door.
My nickname for Lance has always been sweatsuit, because he always wears sweatsuits. But he was wearing a shirt and tie.
Yeah, it looked very good.
Sweatsuit.
Yeah. I wore
a tie more in a week than you have in your life.
Yes. Yeah. That's 100% accurate. That's 100%. But it was great having a chance to work with Lance. When I got there, Lance showed me through the ropes of everything there was. But he was right. I know after Lance left, I was in charge of the scouts. And remember, Lance, that team that you had, because Lance won the first Rose Bowl with those guys. And me and Lance had something in common because we both went to the Tokyo Bowl just a couple years apart. But when that team was loaded. And so the scouts were insane coming in. And so I was in charge of the scouts. We had to walk them over to, remember where the bubble was at, Lance, and those rooms up there? And that's where the scouts would watch the film. So when I'd walk out, they'd all be sitting there. And I, my first question, I go, who brought donuts? And three guys would raise their hand. I'm like, great, you three come with me. The rest of you guys wait. I'd make them wait. I would make them at that hand of God. I would make them wait and go and set them like that. Because you know why? The donut was critical, wasn't it, Lance? Because there was no food. There was no training table at lunch. There was none of that. Nope, there was none of those things. So, but it's a great opportunity. And I've always said, they asked Lance, and maybe you can add in on this. I said that one of the things that Coach Alvarez was so good at is how he had the pulse of the team. Can you add to that?
Yeah, he was, to me, I say a master, because it came in many things. You know, it was such a, you know, his utmost respect for Bob Devaney was one thing.
Mm-hmm.
His time with Hayden Fry was another part.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then he always had his time with Lou Holtz.
Mm. Yeah.
So when he talked about many things in the early days of a staff meeting, he always kind of picked which one he was trying to work to. But when he had the pulse of the team, but he always talked about early about sending the message of the week or what it would be for the season. And he always would say, if you repeat it enough times, and when you really know they're getting it is when they're repeating things that he has said when they get interviewed.
Mm.
And then you know they're believing and where it's at. And, you know, 25, 30 years later, we've just redefined it. And words like culture, words like player-led program,
mm-hmm.
a lot of those things were never talked about in those terms. But to me, he was one of the best. And again, you listen to former Husker players talk about their time in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the same things. And those are some of the best guys and that have been able to do it. And that's why so many people, you know, respect Coach Osborne, Coach Alvarez, and guys like Bill and I are so fortunate to have those opportunities to be under those people.
Yes.
Lance, what was the energy level like? Explain to these guys. At Wisconsin, 9-on-7, offensive coaches versus defensive coaches, offense versus defense. Was that not the most insane, important period of the day?
It was. And again, that was part of, again, we mentioned the people that in the programs where a lot of these guys came from and the intensity of, again, Wisconsin wasn't going to line up complete talent-wise against Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State was entering the Big Ten at that time. So how were we going to be able to do it? And that was by being physical,
mm-hmm.
being able to stop the run, being able to run the ball, control it, and use play action pass. And it was all going to start at that part of the day, and we're going to line it up. Heck, we probably hit more in those periods than what you're even allowed to hit these days. So, but again, it's all about mentality and culture. And you know, I know we haven't talked about it, but I think right there in Lincoln, I think Travis hired Matt Rhule as somebody that personifies that. I think there's a lot of things there in his background that kind of relates back to some of those areas. And I think the physical brand of football that the Big Ten's known for, I think we'll be right there in Lincoln this fall.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, Coach, it has been a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for all the stories, the intel. It's been fun to have you. Congrats on a great year, and we wish you good luck in the year ahead also.
Yeah, Jake, I feel bad we didn't get you in this one as much. But we'll talk about Steve's dietary habits next time
we
I jump
do that.
On.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in Tampa, too.
In Tampa, too.
All the good stuff. The technical stuff, that would be outstanding. Like that, his.
All right.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you. That's Lance Leipold, head football coach at Kansas.
109. I'm glad Bill asked me to look up some information. I usually just kind of do work for Bill. Now he asked me to look up some information, and it was. I didn't know Bill had a good idea. He was on a treadmill last night, and he had
it
a good
the
idea.
Treadmill. Yeah,
Jake. It is. I want to make this
watching Groundhog Day.
I want to emphasize this. 109-6 at Whitewater. That's what Lance was. He won six national titles. They have not sniffed a national title since he's been gone. Like Bill said, coaching matters. It matters. He also mentioned something, Lance, specialized division of labor. I hope you guys listen to that because I get tired of carrying the show.
you hear the music?
Yeah.
The music's going right
break.
Now.
Let's go to break.
We're going to break.
Division of labor. Yeah. That means let's divide this up a little bit more.
Okay. More next early break in the ticket. Okay.
More next. Early.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.